In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Brethren in Christ, since the issue of this woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years is important, it takes us back to the Old Testament ordinances and regulations concerning the uncleanness of any person who is subject to bleeding or discharging of bodily fluid. In the book of Leviticus, bodily discharge of the blood renders a woman unclean for 40 days for a female child, for a male child, and 80 days for a female child in Leviticus 12:1-8. Also, menstruation renders a woman unclean for 7 days, and any unnatural flow of blood rendered the woman unclean until 7 days after that flow of blood ceases. And since this woman had had a bloody flux for 12 years, she was considered unclean throughout that period of time. And this uncleanness can be contracted in variety of ways, especially by touching or by coming within reach of the impure person. In the book of Numbers 5:2, we read, anyone having a discharge of bodily fluids or touching something unclean, such as dead body, was unclean. Within this Old Testament context, you have to imagine the suffering and the hidden agony of that woman who had had the flow of blood for 12 years. She could not touch anything or come into contact with any person or live visibly in a family or in a society. She was forced to live in isolation. That is, she lived in a prison of virtual bars. She remained hidden and she concealed herself. Feeling humiliated and embarrassed, she considered herself polluted and contaminated. So the ordinances of uncleanness haunted her, making her mind tainted with the guilt of dirtiness. In addition to the ordinances of the Old Testament and of the law, she became more afflicted because she visited many physicians who were unable to cure her illness. Their medical skills increased her suffering and trouble. Instead of healing her, it added pain to pain. For 12 years, she suffered among the physicians who stripped her of her funds and wealth. As the physician failed to cure the discharge of blood, the illness of that woman was not just physical, but also spiritual and mental, as she became depressed and disheartened. However, realizing the divinity of Jesus Christ, secretly she came behind him, approaching him not in her home or in a town, because according to the law, she was excluded from towns. But while the Lord was passing by, so that in the course of going to raise a woman from death, another woman was cured. Having such a great faith, she believed that just by touching his garment alone, touching his garment, will be healed. Feeling that she was unclean, she could not touch or approach a holy man. For this reason, the woman was careful to remain concealed, for fear that having transgressed the law, she would have to bear punishment imposed by the law. So she came and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood ceased. The afflicted woman had been healed secretly, but Jesus asked this question, "Who was it that touched me?" He asked publicly, "Who was it that touched me?" He asked this question so that he who had become aware of her healing might know that he too was aware of her faith. What is this intention of asking, "Who was that who touched me?" First, Jesus put an end to her nightmare and chronic afflictions. He kept her conscience unharmed, as if she had stolen the gift from him. The second, which is very important, that Jesus corrects the old ordinances of the law, that she has no right to be seen. She declared in the presence of the congregation that she is pure and her faith is pure. Third, he makes her faith a role model to all of us. He encouraged the Jews to emulate this great faith. As the woman was healed, the crowd of sinners was made whole. So faith and healing are closely connected. To the Jews, it is appropriate to follow the law of cleanliness, but to Christ, he showed that through this woman that a more pristine wholeness is restored by faith and not by the ordinances of the law. And the fourth and final thing, that by ending her bleeding was another sign of his knowledge of her mind and of all things, and of a revelation of his curing power. She gave a testimony that Jesus Christ is a divine person, and that Christ could heal by words alone. By words alone, just by speaking, he could heal any person. So the healing came forth from his mouth. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." To show that the healing that came out from his lips could be heard publicly. But he required from the lips of that woman a faith openly professed. The other example which we have today in this morning gospel of faithfulness was Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. Unlike all the heads of the synagogues who rejected Christ, this person came near, embracing the Savior's knees, begged him to deliver his daughter, who was in extreme danger. The Savior immediately set out with him, hurrying on to the house of the one who invited him. So we have two examples: the woman and that ruler of the synagogue. But contrary to them, there were a number of unbelievers who laughed at Jesus to scorn him, who said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." Therefore, the gospel of this morning tells us that there are always two categories of people: believers, like the woman with the issue of the blood, and like the ruler, Jairus, and the unbelievers, who would always resist his glory and would reject the divine miracle and deny that Christ is the life and the resurrection. Brethren, there are two ways: one of belief and one of disbelief. But there is a great difference between the two. The way of the woman and the ruler, and the way of those who scorned and ridiculed Christ and contempted his great grace. People, and all of you, have to make a choice in this life. Either you have to imitate these two figures today, or to imitate those who scorned him and remained sick and dead. By laughing at him, they gave a clear acknowledgement that the daughter was dead, and Jesus ordered them to be sent outside. He showed that unbelieving people of this kind are to be excluded from the promise of eternal life or from God's kingdom. How shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, such a great healing? Christ's power over the death of 12-year-old girl and over the 12-year sickness of a bleeding woman demonstrate that he is the resurrection and the life. And the gospel is exhorting you, if you feel embarrassed by your sickness, or to fall down before him if you are mortified by severe illness. By no other means you can be healed. Wherefore, let us use all earnestness to obtain the healing and thus escape the suffering and afflictions and attain unto the resurrection through the grace and loving kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.